Well, a very good morning or afternoon or evening to you, wherever you are around the world. Welcome to the Beatles World Cup, heat number 20. Mm. Very exciting. I'm Jono.
And I'm Rob.
Rob, 20 episodes, 20 heats we've got through. That means we've actually had 80 Beatles songs up and only 20 have gone through. So 60 Beatles songs have gone to the wayside.
It's amazing, isn't it? This has gone so quick.
I know. Do you know what the crazy thing is? We're not even halfway through the heats.
I know.
So, there's a lot still to go. But yes, last week, Dear Prudence got it through.
Yeah.
Meditated its way into the next round. We did lose I'm So Tired, which is a bit of a shame. The Inner Light is gone. Your Mother Should Know. I don't think anyone shed too many tears for.
I don't think so.
So, yeah. But we picked out four new random songs at the end of the last episode. And Rob, what are those?
We did. They're Fixing a Hole from the album that shall not be named. I've Got a Feeling from Let It Be, Maxwell Silver Hammer from Abbey Road, and The Ballad of John and Yoko, which was a single only release, Jono.
Let's get into it. It's the 20th heat of the Beatles World Cup. Now, if you haven't been following us, so this is your first episode, I have to warn you now that basically Rob hates Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. So, you know, whenever a song comes up from it, you just got to brace yourself for the fact that he's going to rip it to shreds. Or maybe you're not. Fixing
this
a hole.
This has grown into a thing. I started off saying I liked some of the songs, but not all of them. And now it's turned into hate, Jono.
Yeah.
I don't know. Sell the sizzle, not the steak, I guess,
Fixing a Hole.
Yes, my Sgt. Pepper twitch is back. This isn't one of the songs I like on the LP. I can see the quality in the track. It's another really cool Macca bass line. I can say that. There's some really gnarly guitar going on in the mix. I'm not sure if it's John or George. Around this era, they all had a sort of go at doing sort of lead type things, but there's like really, you know, if you do put on headphones, you can hear the guitars really well. But just the song in general has never spoken to me. I have very little to say about it. It's just like, oh yeah, that song, you know. I probably voluntarily listened to it the last time a decade ago. Who knows? You know, it's been ages.
Gosh.
Yeah,
it's another plodder for me.
Yeah.
And actually, it does seem to be a thing about Pepper when you listen back to it. It's sort of like a... Some of these songs just have a lack of energy to them. Some, not all. But, like, Good Morning. It's probably got too much energy. But, yeah. I just don't have a lot to say on Fixing a Hole.
Well, I think the best song was left off Sgt. Pepper, which was Strawberry Fields.
Yeah.
You know, I know A Day in the Life is pretty legendary, but I think... If Strawberry Fields was on there, it'd at least be something, but it's not. So anyway.
Yeah. I think I like Pepper more than you do. So I'm gonna back the truck up a wee bit when it comes to, you know.
Oh, well, you like She's Leaving Home. I remember that episode. Yeah. Was that episode 3 or 4 or something?
And actually my wild card entry was Being for the Benefit of Mr. Kite, which has gone through to the next round.
Did you really? Yeah. Is that one of yours?
Yeah.
Oh my god. Oh, when did we talk about that? In episode 0?
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
We won't talk about it again until at least episode 52.
Because
that got a free pass. Minimal to say on this. My little note literally in front of me was Rob, Sgt. Pepper track. And that's it. So
right. Let's move on then.
Let's move on, I think. Sorry, Fixing a Hole. Okay, moving on though to the rooftop, onto the rooftop of the Apple building for the recording of I've Got a Feeling.
Yeah, the Let It Be doco. I'd heard this a few hundred times in my life, I would say, before the doco and then another few hundred times after the doco.
I thought you were going to say during the doco. It felt like...
Well, it does come up a lot during the doco. That's what I mean. You know, by the time the doco was over, I'd heard another few hundred. And look, despite that, I still think this is really good. It's loose as hell. It it feels like what those sessions were about. You know, it could maybe only come from those sessions, you know. Here's a random memory, actually, about it. It was one of the earliest songs I can remember where someone said something in the lyric, in this case, the phrase wet dream, and the junior burger version of me would be all, you can say that in a song? Oh, my God, did they just say what I thought they just said? Oh, my God. You know, because I was very young when I heard this. I would have been like, I don't know, 10 maybe or something like that, and knew what they were saying. And it was just this moment like, are you allowed to do that? You know, I don't know if you've had that feeling about this song or any song where someone has sworn or used a phrase and you just think, can you do that? This was one of those songs for me, actually.
Yeah. This song was off my radar for so long. It only really came on because I just have never, pre the documentary, Let It Be for me was never really my go-to album.
Right.
I always kind of skipped it a little bit. So, yeah. So this track, I mean, the album itself was, you know, I knew it and had played it, but not much. And this one obviously was on it and never really played this track so much either. So, but then it's grown on me more and more and more, the more I saw it being built basically on the documentary. And also the fact that it's kind of, it's nice to have another John and Paul mashup song. I mean, it's no Day in the Life, but it's nice to have something where both of them have contributed half and half, basically, because it's essentially just two of their unfinished songs pushed together, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it is. Yeah, you see it sort of come together during the doco.
And if you don't like this loose version, there is a studio version of this song on, I think, Anthology 3.
Oh, there could well be. I mean, that's probably the least of the anthologies I've listened to be honest. And even the other two I haven't listened to particularly because they're just so big and sprawling. And
yeah,
it was probably the first one I listened to a lot. And by the time the second and third came out, I'd had Beatles fatigue.
Yeah.
I just listened to them.
Yeah. I actually wonder whether they put, I haven't checked, but whether it was on the deluxe version of Let It Be, whether they might have put it on there as well. Not sure. Yeah, it's good. It's got a little groove to it, and it molds John and Paul together quite nicely. So yeah, I've got time for. I've got a feeling. I've got a feeling. I like it.
Good.
Yeah. next one.
Hmm.
Well.
Yeah.
I'm not really sure what does that mean. If you didn't like When I'm 64, Rob, you're certainly not going to like Maxwell's Silver Hammer.
Well, Jono. This is interesting.
Oh, this, God.
This is one of my Macca being Macca tracks. I think we had one last week as well with Your Mother Should Know, you know, where he goes all vaudeville and stage show. And technically, I should dislike it, even though I can see the creativity, the quality, all of that sort of stuff. But, I've always had a soft spot for the lyric. You know, it's about this kid running around murdering people. It's dark as hell, but it's so jaunty, you know. And there's the bit where Macca almost laughs in the lyric. And I think, oh, my God, this is eccentric and fun as hell to me. And so despite everything I have ever said about his vaudeville stuff, the stage show stuff, it's the lyric, the darkness of the lyric versus doing it in such a jaunty way. I just laugh. I think it's so funny. I like it. I like it, Jono.
I thought I kind of knew you quite well.
Oh, no. Here we go.
Do you know what the difficult thing about this song is? So when you have kids and they have names that are generally, you know, generally most names have got a song about them somewhere.
Sure.
When your son's name is Maxwell.
Oh, dear.
And he's like, can you play the Maxwell song? Oh, you mean the Maxwell song where Maxwell murders people with a hammer? Sure. Where Maxwell makes sure they were dead? Sure. My daughter's name's Josephine. She's got a much better song.
Sure.
Oh, this is, do you know what just annoys me about this track is that it just really feels so out of place in Abbey Road. It's just so annoying. It just ruins it.
Yeah.
It's like this bit of grit in the shoe of Abbey Road, and I find it really frustrating that it's there.
I can agree with that. It is out of place.
Hmm.
Definitely.
And the guys, apart from Mecca, the guys hated it. They hated doing it. He got them to do it over, three or four sessions to try and get it right, because he wanted to make a single out of it. And it was never going to be a single. And, yeah, so they hate it. George and Ringo hated it. I don't think John's even on it in any way.
Yeah. It interests me, though, because it's the kind of lyric that I think George could have written.
George would have written a lyric with pataphysical in it?
I think George has got this really good sense of humour and is very eccentric. I think he could have written the lyric, yeah.
Right.
I know that he didn't. I'm just saying he could have. So I find it sort of interesting that he doesn't like the song.
I think maybe it was just the process of the song.
Right.
Of doing it, which might have been, like, it was just over and over and over and over and over again that they had to do it to try and get it to Paul's standard or what he wanted it to be.
Paul was in one of those moods.
Yeah. Okay. Come on, guys. You know, just do it one more time. Mel, can you hit the anvil one more time?
Yeah.
That is fun in Get Back, where you sing Mel. There's ding, ding.
One note Mel.
Ding, ding. Yeah. One hit Mel. Yeah. Two hit Mel, actually, in this case. Yeah, I really don't like it, Rob. And okay. If you pick this as your pick to go through, I will probably pull out of the podcast. So
sure.
Just put it out there.
Sure.
Now.
Okay.
Yeah. Shame we can't rig these. Because if you choose it and it win, no. Anyway, hopefully that won't happen. Anyway, on to something a little bit more upbeat and rollicking, The Ballad of John and Yoko.
Yeah, let's rip into this. What a groove this song has. And it's just John and Paul doing all the instruments and all the singing.
Yep.
And I always remember in the Imagine documentary. Do you remember the Imagine documentary? It's just about Lennon and his life.
Right.
There's the footage of that old guy. And I later learned he was a cartoonist called Al Capp, who I think did the cartoon Lil Abner. And he meets up with Lennon and Yoko. I think they're doing one of their bed-ins. They did bed-ins all over the place. They're doing one in I think it's North America somewhere. And he comes in and he starts goading Lennon over the lyrics, you know. But he's the typical old man who doesn't have the lyrics right. And, you know, he's offended that it's about crucifixion and Christ and all of this sort of stuff. And Lennon sort of corrects him on the lyrics and then explains them to him. But he knows this guy is being a bit of a dick. And when this guy, Al Capp, leaves, Lennon starts singing the lyrics at him as he's walking out the door and finishes with, "They're going to crucify Capp instead of they're going to crucify me." I used to think that was so good because I can't stand in the 60s and the 70s. You know, you see it on documentaries all the time. All these people who try to get up musicians about their lyrics. Like, what does this mean? Or how can you say this in your lyrics? And I hate all that stuff. And, of course, it also plays into the bigger, you know, Lennon saying the Beatles were bigger than Jesus and all that sort of stuff that got them into trouble. And they had to apologize for it. I just think it's great that within a decade, within just over 5 years probably, he can be making a track like this. And it's F you, everyone. I'm saying, Christ, you know it ain't easy, you know how to be, you know, the way things are going, they're going to crucify me. I think it's a great track, and it grooves along. I've probably spoken way too much about it, Jono, but have at it. That's my thoughts on it.
Well, it's a number one track. It was their last number one.
That makes sense, because I had not Beatles Ones, not that album, but I had an album early in my life called like the Beatles Number Ones, and it was like 23 number ones or something like that.
Yeah.
And this was on it. It may have been the last track. I can't
remember.
Yeah,
it is weird. Like when you like one, Beatles One, it does sort of seem to stand out a wee bit as like, eh? What? Why is that there? I've always liked this.
Yeah.
I've actually always really liked it. I completely got the lyrics wrong numerous times. I thought it was eating chocolate cake in the bath. It's eating chocolate cake in a bag.
In a bag, yeah.
Of course, because they did the whole bagging thing. I've just really liked it. It's a total ego trip. But,
oh, for sure.
But it's a great ego trip, and it's very, very listenable. I actually really like it.
Macca had some reservations about it, the story goes, because he was saying, you know, Christ, you know, it ain't easy. And Macca obviously knew very well what trouble they got into last time that was sort of religion came into their music. But John really had, you know, a burning urge to record this. He's like, you know, come over to my place, Macca. Or I think it was recorded at his house. And they just did it together.
Yeah. Paul was saying, like, it was like he was on heat. He just needed to get it out of him. And he wanted it sort of released as a single straight away, but they held it back because of Get Back.
Yeah. Yeah. Makes sense. Yeah. No, it's good. I like it.
Yeah. All right, well, there we go. Four more songs. We've got to make a decision, Rob. So let's just go through them again. Fixing a Hole, I've Got a Feeling. The Other One, and the Ballad right. of... Sorry, Maxwell Silverhammer, and the Ballad of John and Yoko.
Yeah.
Have at it.
It's Ballad of John and Yoko for me.
This is...
Sorry, should I have built that up more?
No, a little bit. Like a bit of preamble. Never goes astray, Rob. But the Ballad of John and Yoko, it's... Well, you know what? We've had a reasonably good run of you and I actually agreeing on stuff, Rob, because I also agree with you. The Ballad of John and Yoko is totally the winner here.
Yeah, this past month, what, we've clashed once?
Yeah.
In a month? That's not bad.
And even that was, I mean, that was kind of, you know, I was just throwing a dart at a dartboard with that episode, to be honest.
right.
But, it's just the most fun out of the four tracks, right? And it's tighter and... more interesting than I've Got a Feeling. And the less said about the other two, the better, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, look, again, I don't mind Maxwell Silverhammer because of the lyric. But, yes, this is by far and away the best track, without doubt.
Yeah. It might not be the most pataphysical track, but it's definitely the best. So, yeah.
Or metaphysical, yeah.
Right. We've got to do our draw for...
Ooh, yeah.
Number 21. Let's all do right. it. All right. Tell you what, at the beginning of next episode, Heat 21, we'll go through kind of the 20 that have been chosen, shall we? And just kind of remind ourselves.
Oh, that'd be fun. It'd
be good to kind of just see where we're at and, you know, see what we've filtered through. So, All right, here we go. First one is Good Day Sunshine.
Okay, yeah.
I walk about. Money. That's what I want.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, Revolvertastic. Got to Get You Into My Life.
Oh, fabulous.
Drug song. Song about drugs. And Julia.
Oh, beautiful song. Oh, that's Julia. A good week.
That is a good week. Yeah.
Yeah.
To see what happens with that one. Julia will be interesting, actually, because, you know, it's the flip side of the whole Blackbird conundrum that we had, wasn't it? Well, that I had anyway.
The
Beatles. Oh. Anyway, we'll talk about that next week. You can get in touch with us at thebeatlesworldcup@gmail.com, which is our email. Our Twitter handle is @BeatlesWorldCup. We will have the poll up very soon, as soon as this episode drops, to let you have your say on what you think we should have picked.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to put it out there and say Maxwell Silverhammer will not get a single vote.
I bet it will.
Really?
I bet it. There are contrary people on Twitter polls, I've always noticed, who vote for the really, you know, crap things or really unpopular things. I think just to be contrary and think, oh, I'll screw this poll up. but they're only one vote, so they don't actually achieve that.
Our Twitter followers wouldn't do that, would they?
But they're more than just our Twitter followers. If, you know, if it gets retweeted, who knows who's answering it, you see.
Look, retweet it and put it out there. I tell you what I have also been doing, just in case, if you're listening and you're a member of the sort of the two main big Beatles Facebook groups. Mm-hmm. There's literally one's called The Beatles and the other one's called The Beatles. And
it's very original.
I think between them, they've got like 500,000 people following it. Wow. So I've been popping up our polls on those as well. It's been quite interesting. Like the two groups, obviously all similar fans, but very different results some weeks, which is interesting.
Interesting. To me.
So yeah, if you get a chance, fill out a poll. There's lots of them out there. So yeah. Awesome. We'll see you next week.
You could be fixing a poll.
I could be fixing a poll. I love it. And on that note, we'll see you next week.
Bye-bye.